grateful for all these guys. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Dude, you guys were really close from finishing the Sermon on the Mount. We've been here for a long time, but don't worry. It's very important. It's some of the first stuff Jesus ever taught, so very important. So open up to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one really quickly. You all need to have a Bible. It's very important. I'm going to get there myself. I'm actually not there. And then also, if you want to earmark your little Bible also to James chapter 4, I'm going to go there really quickly at the very end of my sermon, just to read one little quick thing. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for just the awesome music that we got to enjoy, Lord. And I know that to you it was enjoyable, Lord. It was like a sweet-smelling aroma to you, Lord. You just loved it, and we want to do that for you, Lord, because you're worthy of it. And so this evening, Lord, as we continue on in worship, Father, as this isn't the end of the worship, this is still the main part, this is the main course, I pray that we would be able to focus in on this, Lord. We're all very worried people. I know that everyone in here has something on their mind. Maybe it's something that's keeping them from not being able to focus fully on you. Maybe it's something that really is important, or maybe it's something that isn't very important. I pray that tonight we would learn that, God, you are with us through it all, and you love us and care about everything we desire and everything that we need, Father. And so I pray that you would just bless this group of students. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's May. It's mid-May, in fact. It's the end of the school year, and that always means, right, congratulations. And that always means finals and finish things up and all these things that you need to do to be able to move on to wherever it is you're going next. But I'm sure, as all you guys know, at the end of something always comes worry. Now, maybe you're worried that you won't do well in your finals, or maybe you're worried about what that next step is that's for you, no matter what age you are in here tonight. And maybe some of you guys are worried about high school, or maybe you're worried about what's going to happen this summer. The fact is that it's not very hard to find something to worry about in this life, right? It's quite easy. Now, when I was writing this very sermon, I was kind of worried because I was, was funny because I'm teaching about being worried, and I'm actually worried as I'm teaching this because I got a really late start on it. I had a lot of things going on, so I was just praying that God would help me finish this off. And now you guys could exchange that word worry for fearful or stressed out. Let's be honest in here. Who within the last 2 weeks has felt stressed out, worried, or something, right? Okay, that's right. Okay, we should all pretty much probably do that, because if you didn't raise your hand in here, then you might not be human. Because we live in America, the land of the stressed out. In fact, one CNN poll said 80% of Americans are worried about the economy. Okay, just the economy, 80%. That must mean that those other 20% clearly can find something to be worried about, right? Maybe their relationships, their family, their health, etc. You guys know that just by stress and worry in your life, I looked it up, you can actually increase your risk of heart disease by 34%. And it was funny when I read that, because I was like, oh my gosh, just by being worried, you could increase your risk of heart disease for 34%? So as I read that, I started to get more worried that I was worried about being worried about the 34% of people who get increased heart risks, right? So I was just like, oh no, this worry is overwhelming, right? It was just too much for me. And I looked up some ways to reduce stress in your life, and a couple of them were just so incredibly hilarious. I had to inform you about some of these. I found one website that said, here's a couple of suggestions, five of them to help you not be so stressed out. Number one is sing about your worry. Okay, so it had a little thing below it. It said, sing about the things that bother you. So you're supposed to be like, I hate my teachers, right? They're the worst people in the world. Let's just sing about it, everybody. Okay, that was the first one. The second one says, twirl like you're 5 years old. Okay, so all of a sudden when you're stressed out, you're like, wee-hee, right? Life is so good. Okay, I don't know how that works. Number three says, laugh for no reason. Okay, imagine if you're just like standing somewhere and someone's like, oh my, and you're just like, this guy's just laughing for no apparent reason. There's not even anybody with him. He's just laughing by himself. Number four, punch your pillow, right? Just take it out on that thing. And then number five, pray. Seems weird to do last, but okay. So I want you to picture somebody who's like trying to practice these five steps, right? So first they're singing about it. Then they decide to start twirling around. Then they just start laughing uncontrollably. Then they start punching a pillow. And then they just get on their knees and start praying. You'd be like, who is this person, right? And I don't know about if that would reduce stress for that person, but that increases stress in my life when I see somebody like in the middle of, you know, just whatever, Walgreens doing like a twirly dance or something weird like that. Well, and here's one more I had to find for you. This is called the Stress Reduction Kit, okay? And this is all that comes in the kit right here. All it says right here, it says Stress Reduction Kit. It says bang your head here. It says directions. Place kit on firm surface, okay? It says follow direction in circle of kit, all right? Bang your head here. Repeat steps 2 if necessary. If unconscious, cease stress reduction activity, all right? I don't know. I don't think those things are going to work. And if they did, they would probably only work for just a couple of minutes. By all means, try it, but don't be surprised if somebody comes and arrests you for insanity, right? Or something like that. Well, today we want to get a biblical and therefore true answer to what we can do when we're worried, when we're stressed out. I named this message a present day plague. You guys know what a plague is. And one of the definitions I came across of a plague says, a plague is a contagious disease that spreads quickly and kills many. You see, why I see that worry is a plague is because just like the plague, worry spreads quickly. If you've ever been around a person who's very stressful, always stressed out, always worried about something, you find yourself very worried and stressed out most of the time too, because it tends to spread quickly to you, right? And it also spreads quickly because, as we just saw, 80%, and I'm sure 100% of all America is stressed out and going through a lot of stuff. The other thing about the plague, why I think it's like worry, it says that the plague kills people. Yes, like I told you, stress does increase your physical risks of getting getting heart disease and getting many other diseases just by being stressed out. But the real killer is the killer of your spiritual life. It kills your faith. Worry takes your eyes off of God and puts it on something here and now, and that's very dangerous. So today we're going to look quickly at 4 points. We're going to see that worry comes from wanting. We're going to see that worry is a lack of faith, that worry is of the world. And last but not least, that worry can be cured before it kills your spirituality. So let's read our entire text starting in verse 25 of chapter 6. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on it. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add 1 cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So the first point we're going to stop on is called worry comes from wanting. Now, I'm sure you guys know this, but as you study the Bible, you can't just read it like you'd read Harry Potter or your favorite book. You can't read it the exact same way, okay? To get all the treasures and the valuables out of the Bible, you must study it, okay? So the first thing Jesus says is therefore. Now, I was once told that when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for, right? Because starting off a sentence with the word therefore doesn't make much sense unless you know what was previously said, right? Imagine if I said, I want to talk to you, and you came up to me and I said, therefore, don't bring your cell phone. You'd be like, wait, what? What was the beginning part? You wouldn't understand it. But if I said, hey, your phone went off in service, therefore, don't bring it anymore. You see how that now you understand the entire thing? So if Jesus is going to start off by saying today in our study about worry, therefore, well, it must have something to do with previously what we have learned. Now, if you guys remember, 2 weeks ago, we learned a message called The Prince and the Possessions. We saw the danger of getting caught up in the world, the danger of being caught up with desires of this world, and this idea of wanting and wanting more. And Jesus ended the whole thing that we learned last 2 weeks ago, and he said, you cannot serve God and money. That's what he said. So he goes on to what we're studying now and talks about worry. Let's just read the first part of 25 again. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Jesus says, therefore, meaning since on our last time we learned that we shouldn't lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, right? And since we learned last time that we cannot serve God and money, right? Therefore, if that is true, God's going to say, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm hoping you're going to obey that first thing. And so therefore, if you're going to obey that first thing by not laying up yourselves treasures here on earth and not serving the God of money, he says, then don't even worry about your life. He's making this connection that when you desire something, it leads to worry about something. We can understand that because that thing that you desire, that thing that you want, whatever it is, whether it's a feeling or a person or a possession, whatever it is, when you focus on it and focus on it, you begin to think about it so much. And you begin to think about what will happen if I don't get it or how can I get it? And if I get it, what am I going to do with it, right? It just consumes your mind. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying, don't desire all of these things. So he says, worry just doesn't come from desiring things. We want these things, and so then we begin to worry about them. Let's look at verse 25 one more time. Let's look at the next part of it. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on it. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Okay, this is a really hard part here. Jesus says, not only should you not worry about those things that you want, or worry about being popular at school, or worry about any of those things that aren't really necessary for life. He says, don't even worry about the very necessities of life, food, drink, and clothes. Now ask yourself this question. When was the last time you worried that you weren't going to have clothes to wear, food to eat, or water to drink? Now I don't mean like today you were so bummed out because you didn't have a dollar to buy Cheetos at the skate park. Right? I don't mean that. And I don't mean like, I'm so bummed out, dude. I don't have $4.50 to buy a Starbucks Frappuccino. Okay? I don't mean that kind of drink. Or, dude, I have like no clothes to wear. Everything I have is 3 months old. Okay? Not that kind of worry. I mean like, when was the last time you wondered if you were going to eat anything in the day? If you were going to drink anything in the day? Or if you were going to have any clothes to wear? Maybe you thought about, I'm going to have to go to school in rags today. And if you're thinking like I'm thinking, you probably are thinking, you've never once worried about those things. We're so blessed. As I thought about that, I thought, I don't ever think that I'm not going to eat in the day. I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat. I'm not thinking about if I'm going to eat, right? But you got to understand something. That's not just a desire of everybody. These are the things that we're dealing with here mostly in America. Because out there, in the rest of the world mostly, 24,000 people are dying a day from poverty. A day. And it's us who've become so comfortable, right, in our lifestyle, that now we don't even worry about food, drink, and clothing. We don't even care about that. Now we're worried about what kind of food we're going to drink, or eat, what kind of drink we're going to drink, and what kind of brand name clothes we're going to wear. We worry about pleasing people. We focus on ourselves. We worry about other people. We don't worry about what God says, right? You see, if we were much like the rest of the world, those 24,000 people that are dying each day, boy, wouldn't things be different, right? We sure wouldn't be worried about popularity and our certain brand of clothes. We would just be really worried that we would hopefully have something to eat and something to drink and something to wear, therefore so we won't die, right? I mean, think about going one day without those things. Think of the shame of not having any clothes. Seriously, think about that. Think about the shame of being able, of like waking up and saying, I can't get anything from anybody. Or think about having no access to clean water or no food. It would sure change the way we thought, right? We in America would be less worried about those other things and the things that we want. We'd be more worried about the necessities and more things about God. Did you guys know that 80% of all the world lives on less than $10 a day? when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, I spent $10 on, like, you know, I don't even know, a cheeseburger the other day, right? Like, that's wicked. One thing I spent $10 on. But you see, those people out there, they're not worried about iPods and makeup and all these things. They're caring about living. And so we cannot miss what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, think of it in this way. This will help you impact it. Because for us, this doesn't mean that much. We're like, okay, don't worry about food, drink, and water, or food, drink, and clothes. Okay, Jesus, that's cool. I cannot do that. That's really easy because I get those things all the time. Now imagine you're one of the 80% of the people who are living on less than $10 a day, and Jesus says, don't worry about food, drink, and clothing. You'd be like, what? How am I not supposed to worry about those things, right? How is it possible? These are the things I need to live. And he goes on to say, because isn't life more than these things? Jesus asked the question, not me. Answer it in your head. Is your life about more than what you want and what you need even? Does it mean more to satisfy your desires, or does it mean more to satisfy God? Is it all about you and what you want, or is it all about God? Because how you answer that question shows a lot about your relationship with God, and if you believe by faith that he will provide for you. Which moves on to our next point called worry is lack of faith. Now, if you guys remember, I took you guys last week to see Steve Wilburn over at Main Sanctuary, really cool guy. I hope you took that home with you and started sharing your faith more and giving out some velocity cards and all that cool stuff. But if you remember, he told that story about Gideon, right? And Gideon's this dude, and he's sitting there doing his work, and he's in hiding, right? And the angel comes to him and says, hey, like, what are you doing here, strong man? Like, let's bust out Israel from this oppression from the Midianites, pretty much, right? And so here's Gideon. Whatever. Where's the Lord? Basically lacking faith, saying, I don't believe that God has the power to do these things. But God wanted to do a mighty work in him. But ultimately, the problem was Gideon lacked faith. He didn't believe ultimately that God was able to do anything about Israel, able to do anything about his situation. Now, maybe that's how you feel in here today. Well, God's not able to do anything for me. Well, if you feel like that, then I would tell you, you lack faith, like Gideon did. You don't have the right view of God, because God is almighty, God is all-powerful, and he can do literally anything he wants. Let's read this in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, when was the last time you guys saw a bird that was a farmer? Right? Okay, when was the last time you were at the grocery store and there was like a bird in front of you, like with his cart ready to like check out a bunch of stuff? Right? Okay, when was the last time a bird knocked at your door and was like, hey, can you spare some seed? I'm starving out here. Okay, never, right? Those things don't happen. So Jesus says, hey, listen, these birds, they can't grow their own food. That's what sow and reap means, right? When was the last time you guys went into your fridge and there was absolutely nothing? And not like nothing that you want to eat, like, oh, those are gross, I hate that. But like, literally, you open it, wait, there's nothing in here. Freezer, nothing in here. Pantry, nothing in here. Well, that's what a bird wakes up to every single day. In case you guys didn't know, a bird nest doesn't come with a little mini fridge, right? Where he stacks up some worms for breakfast tomorrow morning. It doesn't happen, right? Each day, a bird must go out for what it needs to live. Jesus says, if God provides food for the birds, how much more will he do for you? By the way, very cool that God cares so much about the animals. But anyways, but each day, that bird gets up, gets what God has provided for them, goes to sleep, wakes up, and does it all over again. So Jesus says, hey, these birds, they're not worried about it. They can sleep at night knowing that they don't have anything that they need for tomorrow, anything. And he says, and aren't you not of more value than they? God loves animals, sure he does, but compared to you, they mean nothing. You are his most prized creation. And so if he adores the birds and he feeds the birds and he basically takes care of all the birds' needs, how much more will he do for you, his most loved creation? Notice the birds still go out for food, by the way. God doesn't just say, oh, I'm going to drop some worms in your worm in your little nest over there. They have to work for it still. They still have to go out and get whatever it is that God has provided for them. So this isn't a call to be lazy. But the deal is that we have so many more privileges than they do. We're able to reap and sow, right? We're able to make our own food. We're able to store things up in our refrigerators, in our barns, so that we can eat it later on. But here's the thing I wonder. How many of us in here can't sleep at night because we're up all night worried and worried about something? Because if you're up all night worried about something, it shows that you can't 100% trust God will provide in your life. One quote I read said, every night before I go to sleep, I give all my worries to God. I figure he'll be up. I like that. And that's really true. And I think you should think about it like that. Every day before you go to bed, you say, here's all the things that I was worrying about, God. Because guess what? God's perfect. God doesn't need to go to bed. God doesn't get tired. He's 100% perfect. And so he's going to be up all night. You're right. While you sleep, God's still awake. God's awake all the time. So cast all those things upon him. Or think about this. When do birds chirp? Morning in the day? Yes, exactly. When they need something. I've never been woken up by a bird chirping in the middle of the night. It doesn't happen. Because they're not up chirping and crying over what they don't have. They're content. They're faithful that they've received everything they needed that day, and they can go to sleep in peace and know should they wake up one more day that God will prepare and give them the things they need for that day then, right? They don't lie awake thinking, man, I wish my nest was bigger, right? I wish I had more, a better color feathers. I hate these feathers, right? They don't say that. Let's read verse 28. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into an oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Okay, now Jesus switches over to talking about clothes, or you could say appearance. By the way, if you guys don't know what a picture of a lily is, I actually have a lily here. Those are what a lily looks like. Those are several different kinds of lilies. Very amazing. Jesus says, look at a lily. And you can just picture Jesus like pluck one or something. Look at this lily. He says, how amazing does it look? It doesn't toil or spin. This beautiful lily doesn't get up in the morning and put up makeup, right? It doesn't put on jewelry. It doesn't have to do 1,000 push-ups to look good. Jesus says, this is just the way the Father has designed it. Because yes, even God cares about the flowers and the plants. Lilies don't have to put on gel to make sure that their faux hawk is completely nice. They don't have to do that. God just blesses them that way. But how about you? How much time do you spend worried about your appearance? And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm saying that worrying about it is another thing. It's okay to want to look nice. But when you worry more about your outside and what people think of the outside more than what God thinks about the inside of you, your heart and your thoughts, then we come into a problem. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, Solomon, the son of David, was a baller, okay? He has more money, more things, more pleasure, more of anything than you and I will ever possess in our entire lives. And in present day terms, I looked it up, Solomon was making about $300 million a year. That's how much money Solomon was rolling in back that day. That's how much money he had, okay? And here's what Jesus says. I love this. Jesus says, so here's this guy making $300 million a year. Obviously has the nicest robes, the nicest things. And he says, and he doesn't even look as good as one of these lilies. He says, that looks better. And so God says, if I arrange the lily with so much beauty and I put it in a field where maybe nobody will even see it, how much more will I worry about what you're wearing and the things that you have? You know, back then they would take flowers and grass and things to start up their ovens. You know, it wasn't like us, you know, just like $350, please, for some brownies. It wasn't like that. They had to get a bunch of stuff, gather it, put it in the fire, let it burn, let it get hot. And guess what one of those things might be? A lily. Someone might just put it in their oven, start up the fire, there it is, that beautiful lily, gone. And so he says, hey, if that beautiful thing that God has arranged just gets plucked and thrown into a fire, how much more will he do for you? You're his most prized creation. He loves you the most, right? You weren't made in the image of plants. You're made in the image of God. We're the only creation that God did this for, and so therefore God will take care of us. Verse 27. I want to go back to verse 27. It says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So Jesus shows that God takes care of all of creation, but takes care of his most important creation, you, the best. Because let me tell you something here. If you're worried in here today, answer this question. What can you do by worrying? Jesus says, can you add a cubit to your stature? How many of you in here said, oh, by the way, God, I want to be 6'1 exactly. Stop there, right? Or, hey, I want to stay short. Oh, that's right. None of us have control over our stature. So therefore, if you can't control that, what will your worrying do? Or another translation says this, who by worrying can add a day to their life? Okay, can any of you say, hey, God, I want to live to be 97, right? Not a day more, not a day less. No, you can't. It's completely out of your hands. And so that's what worrying's like. Worrying is, it's like trying to worry about how tall you're going to be. You have no control over it. It does nothing. It makes no sense. No one can add days to their life. No one can add size to their height. Worrying gets you nowhere. It was once said that worrying casts a big shadow on a small thing. It's so true, right? Here's something that we're so worried about, and then when you worry it, it's like casting a shadow on it that makes this thing look huge. But really, when you take it out of the light of worry, it's just this little tiny thing that you're worried about. It actually makes no difference at all. So you can't change things by worrying. But guess who can? God can change things. God is in heaven. He is in control. Right? God's not thinking, man, I really need some advice on what to do with this guy's life. He's not thinking that. He's like, oh, I know exactly what's going on here. I'm in full control. Because if you don't know that Jesus is in full control of what's going on, then he would say what he said here. He said, oh, you of little faith. That's what he'd be saying to you today. But God, I don't know if you can do it. Oh, you of little faith. He would say, I'm God. I can do all things. Okay? I am not limited by the things that you are. So why worry? Because if you worry, it shows that you don't believe that God has the power. Do you know that the word worry actually means to choke? I don't know about you guys, but I was like the king of choking on tricks. Like trick cereal. Like, whoa. You know what I mean? Just like all of a sudden, oh, there I am. Like always somebody was there to like smack me on the back and like fling the tricks out of my mouth. But here's the thing. The word means to choke. I want you guys to think about that. Every time you worry, it's like, and I don't know about you, but when you're choking, you can't do anything else. You can't be like, I'm choking, I'm going to go do a Bible study. It doesn't work. I'm choking, I'm going to go do well at school. It doesn't work. To fully live your life, you must clear that object from your throat before you can continue on in life. And so if to worry means to choke, then it's the same thing. When you worry and worry, you can't move on to do anything else. You can't read your Bible. You can't pray. You can't go to school. You can't serve your parents. You can't serve anybody because you're continuously choking there. You can't focus on anything else. And so as a Christian, we shouldn't be known for worrying. That is of the world. And that brings us to our third point called worry is of the world. You guys have probably seen it at the bookstore, N-O-T-W, right? Not of this world. And Jesus said, you have to be here, right? You're going to spread my gospel amongst everybody. But just because you're here doesn't mean you're going to be of the world. And so worry is something that should separate us from the world. Let's look at verse 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? And what shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. Okay, he says, when you're worried about all these things you want and need, he says, that's what the Gentiles do. Now, if you don't know what a Gentile is a non-Jew. We are Gentiles, okay? We're now Gentile believers because we now believe in Jesus. But anybody who's a non-Jew is a Gentile. So Jesus is saying, hey, the world, right, is the majority of the world is unsaved. We know that, that few enter into the kingdom of God. And so if the world as the whole is worried, then that must mean that that's for the world and not for Christians. And we shouldn't worry for two reasons as Christians. Here's the first one. The first one is that proof of a true believer is to walk differently and act differently than the rest of the world. 1 John 2:15 says, whoever loves the world's ways, the love of the Father is not in that person. I would even go as far to say this. The world should be worried, right? Who hears their prayers? Nobody. Who feeds them? I guess them, if they can provide for themselves. You see, the people of God, the children of God, us, have many more benefits than the world. So the world should be worried because they don't have any help and they're on a pathway to hell without Jesus, right? So why are we different? Let's read the second part of 32. It says this, For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. So we shouldn't worry because our heavenly Father knows what we need. Everything we need, and guess what? He knows most of the time, many of the times, what we want too, and blesses us with those things. So what are you worried for? Because God in heaven knows your entire story. He knows what worries you. So as believers, we shouldn't be scared and worried. We should be confident and have faith that God will act out on our behalf the things that we are worried about. You know, we just studied this in Momentum this year. Romans 8:28, right? That God works all things for good to those who love him, though, right? That's what it says. It says God works everything to good for those who love him. It doesn't say God works everything for good for everybody. No, only for the believer, the one who loves him. Those other people, it might not work out for the good. They should be worried, right? And how awesome is it that we can rely on that promise of God, that he will work things out for good. And another thing that we should do is it shows non-believers the power of God. You see, when you guys don't worry, it shows the rest of the world who worries that you're different. Trust me. I promise that somebody will notice that while you're going through a trial, while you're going through something, that you're not worried. You're like, I'm just chilling. I'm all good. And they're like, how is it possible that you're not freaking out? Well, because God's in heaven. God's in control. He's working everything out for my good. What? Who is this person? And then they're going to ask, how is it possible? And then you're going to keep telling them about the Lord and maybe bring them to the Lord so that they can have that confidence. Have you guys ever seen that video? We've watched it a couple times here, Louis Giglio, Fruitcake and Ice Cream. Awesome story. But the whole thing is kind of about that. This girl who's of the world and she's roommates with a Christian and her world's falling apart and this Christian girl is just so poised and so just everything about her is just so calm and she's just in such confidence and faith knowing that the Father is in heaven and is going to help her with everything that this girl is just, she calls her Fruitcake. That's why they name it Fruitcake, because she's like, this girl is like a fruitcake. She's crazy. How is it possible that she's not freaking out about all these things? I would be freaking out about all these things. But because of her actions, she was able to bring somebody to the Lord because she wasn't worried about it. It's like preaching the gospel when you don't even use your words. No one likes to worry, right? How many of you guys in here would rather not worry about things? I would love to not worry about things. Well, guess what? When you surrender your life to Jesus, you don't have to. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares. Now, maybe you're thinking right now, you know, I haven't done such a good job. You know, I'm a believer, but I worry a lot. I'm not very different from the world when it comes to worry. Well, don't worry. There's a cure for it. That's going to lead us to our last point quickly called worry can be cured. Maybe you guys have studied about this in school, but the Black Death or the Black Plague or the Bubonic Plague killed one-third of Europe's population in the 1300s. About 20 to 30 million people died of this plague. That's just in Europe. Now, thank goodness for modern medicine and the ability to find a cure. But right here in verse 33, Jesus is going to tell us the cure for worry. Let's read verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, so Jesus says, you want to not worry about all those million things? You want to not worry about parents and school and friends and popularity? And you want to not worry about clothes and food and drink and all of those things? Here's how you do it. You seek me. All you have to do is seek me. Pastor John MacArthur says, to seek God means to pursue the one to whom all things belong. That the things of God we are to seek are his kingdom and his righteousness, it says. So his kingdom means his commandments, his way, the right way of doing things, submission to his will. I want you guys to think about that. Have I been more concerned about my obedience to God in the last week? Or have I been more worried about grades, finals, people, and the future? Next, it says we should seek his righteousness. You guys remember a time in the Gospels when Jesus was like, man, these sandals, they're just not like that cool. I wish I had a better robe. Man, I hate this kind of fish. Like, I wish I had better food. That, nowhere in the gospel will you find that. Because Jesus was more concerned about the lost, the sick, the suffering, the worried, the poor, the homeless, the widowed, the orphans. In short, he was way more concerned about people than he was possessions. So how do you spend your time? You spend your time worrying about people, worrying about the lost, or is it only about what you lack and what's going on in your life, and it's all about me? Because if you desire to be righteous, then that means to desire the things of Christ, because he is the only one who righteous can come from. You see, the cure to worry is to not concern yourself with the things of the world, but to concern yourself with things of God. Someone once said, what worries you masters you. It's very true. If you're focused and your main focus is your walk with God, then he is your master, and that's a good thing to have. But if your main focus is anything else, that becomes your master. And anything else doesn't have all power, isn't almighty, and cannot work all things together for the good, right? And here's the thing, you guys, you have to watch out for these things, because even seemingly good things can take the place of God in your life. School. You should all be doing well in school as best as you can, working to the best of your abilities, because that's what God's given you, a brain. However, it shouldn't be your only focus. School should come after God. And if your friends, guess what? Friends are a great thing. God gave you them to enjoy, to travel this life with, to fellowship, to lift you up, to build you up, to do all those great things. But he never gave them to take their place. And so if you're focused on what your friends think more than what God thinks, then you've given them power of your life. You've made them master of your life. And guess what? They cannot make things. They cannot help you when you're worried. They cannot take away the pain that you're going through. I love how God simplified this for us. He says, hey, love me with all your heart. Give me your best. I know you have other things to do. That's why it says simply seek first the kingdom. It doesn't say seek the kingdom and nothing else. It says seek first the kingdom. God knows that you guys can't just stay in your room for 24 hours a day on your knees praying. He understands that. He knows that you have other responsibilities, that you all have a job someday, those who have jobs in here. He knows that you need food and drink and all those things. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God. He says, I want to be first in your life. And then if you make me first, then I'll help you with the second and the third and the fourth and the millionth other thing that you have to do. See how that works? And maybe you're thinking, like I said, wow, well, I haven't done such a great job of seeking God first. Well, all you need to do is repent. That's what repentance in the life of a believer is. Acknowledging, man, I'm not right here. God, I have worried about way more things than I've worried about righteousness and the kingdom of God lately. Please help me with that. Next time you're about to worry, stop, seek God first, know he cares, and he will help you. Let's finish up with verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's that word, therefore, again. So obviously it must have something to do with what's going on before it, right? Jesus says, if you know what you need to do, which is to seek me first when you're worried, and I'll help you with all those things, then don't even bother looking toward the future. You see, the other way to cure your worry besides seeking God first is to do this, is to not look past the day that you're alive, this day today. You see, the problem is that when you begin to look forward in your life, you begin to think about what you're going to do tomorrow and what's going to happen next week and what are we going to do this summer and what are we going to do later on this year and oh my gosh, I have a new school system and I'm going to a new school and a new grade, and you start to begin to think about everything that's going to happen in the future, you start to worry about it. The problem is, is just like we saw with our teaching on prayer, just like we saw today with the birds, God likes to work one day at a time. It doesn't mean that it's not okay to plan. It just means don't be upset when God changes your plans, okay? Don't worry about what's going to happen in 2 weeks. Look for opportunities now, in this day, to serve him with faith, to share your faith, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And like the birds, should you wake up the next day, right? The birds don't know if they're going to wake up the next day. Should you wake up the next day, well, then seek God first, and then go about your day doing the things that you can, the things that God has set before you. I love what James 4:13 says. If you have your Bible, let's go there. James 14 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, we'll buy and sell, we'll make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away." Don't burden yourself with a year's worth of worry, you guys, when your life is a mist. Okay, you know what that looks like? You know what that means? Here, I got a little can of air freshener. Sorry if you get a little air freshener on you, okay? Look, ready? You can see? Okay, that was your life. That's what he's saying. He says, okay, here's your problems. Here's you existing. Here's everything that's going. Oh, wait, there went 70 years. You're done. Now eternity has begun. So he says, that's what your life looks like. Gone. So why are you so worried about these little tiny things that mean nothing? You should worry about God, because I'm going to be around for eternity, and so you should seek after me, because I'm the one you're going to spend a ton of time with. Your life in eternity won't be a vapor, a mist. It'll be forever. So to cure your worry, seek God first, know he's going to be with you, and then second, should you wake up the next day, then go for it. Go for it again. Seek God first, and then do everything you can that day. And then whatever you can, know that God is going to help you take care of the rest of it. He said, I will apply everything else to you if you seek me. So I pray that you won't be another victim of the worry plague that kills many people's faith each day. I hope that you will learn to put these things into action in your life, that you will see that you can have peace, that you don't have to worry. You don't have to punch a pillow. You don't have to twirl like a five-year-old. You don't have to do any of those silly things. The way to not worry is through a relationship with Jesus, who knows and sees the future, knows what you need, loves you more than anything, and wants to provide for you. And he can do it. He's strong and mighty. Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motors, said this, and I loved it. He says, hey, if you're in a bad situation, don't worry. It'll change. And if you're in a good situation, don't worry. It'll change. I love that. You see, whether tonight you're super worried or tonight you're happy as a clam, everything's going well, guess what? It's going to change. You're going to have a better day and you're going to have a worse day. I promise you. And so if that's going to happen, if the world is ever changing, then why not put our faith and our trust in someone, the only one who never changes, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to be with you every second of your life here on earth, and most importantly, for eternity beyond. I'm going to ask the band to come up and play one last song. But I just want to encourage you guys. Maybe some of you, I'm so worried, and you're thinking that, and what's going to happen? I want to encourage you. If you know the Lord, then just say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been so full of worry. Help me to focus on you, and help me to understand that you love me and want to take care of all these things. And if you're not a believer in here tonight, I just want to ask that you'd be bold enough to make an awesome move. Because remember your life, here it is, gone today, here today, gone tomorrow. That vapor's over. It may seem like you have all the time in the world, right? It may seem that you have, I got 90 years to get right with God, but that's just what he said. James says, why do you say you're going to go here and spend a year? Why do you go there and say that I'm going to do this next month? He says, you're not guaranteed anything, so you live for today. And so that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so I want to extend that out to you. Anyone here who has not given their life to Jesus Christ, I just want you to simply come find a leader. We love you, and we want to pray with you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that you care, Lord, so much about us. And I pray that we'd remember that, Lord, that as you provide for the birds, you provide for the flowers, you provide for this, you sustain this entire world. And God, we are your most prized possession. You love us so much, and you love everybody in here. Even if they're caught up in sin, you love them. You just want them to have a life without that. You want to show them the life they should have. And I pray that if anybody in here, Father, has not given their life to the Lord and is worried, that, Father, you would help them, Lord, and you would show them, show them that a life with you means no worry. It means giving our life to you and letting you worry about it, because that's what you want to do. You want to take it all for us. And so, Jesus, I pray that for all those people and all these believers in here, Father, that who are worried but are believers, I pray that you would, Father, show them that you are mighty and strong, and that the God they follow can do anything. He's not limited by anything, and that he's going to help them with everything as long as they would seek you first, Lord Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray.